Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program On Every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. Our first guest tonight is Tom Stout, the Executive Director of the Lehigh Northampton Airport Authority, one of the airports we know better as our local airport, ABE. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Tom, it's nice to always have you on because there's always something exciting going on out at ABE. All one needs to do is drive by the airport, and it seems like there's a lot of construction going on out there. Let's start with the parking lot. Let's just start there.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we're right in the middle of wrapping up a project in our main parking area to really, it's certainly providing some cosmetic in terms of the paved surface, but also really replacing the parking equipment infrastructure. And so the way that you get tickets and pay your ticket, really trying to provide a lot more options for travelers. And part of that includes, mobile pay apps and those types of things. So we're excited to get that product available for customers, and that will be in the coming weeks. So we're really starting to get the finishing touches on that.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have parking at your local airport that you can just walk into the airport from your parking spot, which you can't do if you're going someplace else.
Right. No shuttle required here, no tram, no train. So, yeah, it's really something that we're excited to be able to have. And it was actually really great to be able to take advantage of the lull in activity to get some of that work done while we could get in there.
Well, there's a lot of parking spaces being filled there now. It is an airport, but there are some other things that once you clear through security that are different. You know, you've got a Dunkin' Donuts there now. Yeah, it's got these great vending machines.
I've said this in a number of instances, but I think, the addition of the Dunkin' Donuts was our most popular service announcement back in 2019. We had a number of air service routes that we added, like Nashville and other things, but right. none of them were as exciting to people as the Dunkin'. So you're but you're right. So we also added the canteen, smart market vending. And, I sit in the office here and I can see the trucks pull up every day providing really fresh sandwich salad options every day, rotating the stock in there and getting fresh items in there for folks. So I think it's really been popular for the grab and go, and certainly a great addition to our existing concessionaires and food and beverage here.
Yeah, the food there in these concession stands is really good, and I would also comment that it doesn't cost you $20 for a sandwich if you were to travel to New York or Philadelphia and try to get a snack. So another advantage to flying out of ABE. Tom, what are your TSA numbers looking like?
So TSA numbers, similar to what we're seeing around the country at this point, are up. And, we had really been steady around about 500 or so travelers through the checkpoint on a daily basis for most of the pandemic, certain spikes throughout that period. But more recently, since very late February, we're started to see those numbers come back, certainly through March and even into April so far. We actually had over 1,200 passengers going through the checkpoint again, which we haven't seen since really the February or early March time frame of 2020 before the pandemic. So, we're really starting to get back to those traffic volumes, and it's great to see people in the airport again and traveling.
What kind of traffic volume did you have, say, in 2019, and where are we now?
So I would say in 2019, an average day would be about 1,500 travelers through the checkpoint. So again, that's not total passengers because we're not counting all of the folks returning. But just in terms of the outbound activity, it was about 1,500, sometimes larger than that. We got close to almost 2,000 passengers a day through the checkpoint at some points. But right now, we're holding at about that 1,100 level. That seems to be about what we're pretty much running at this point, but certainly, you know, we're watching those numbers and certainly watching even the number of cars parked. I mean, you pointed out the fact that our parking lot was getting a little bit full. That's why we were glad to have this project wrapping up and the paving work completed, because again, same thing, we were really looking at having almost 1,000 cars in the parking lot. And, you know, we hadn't seen numbers like that. We, again, closer to 400, you know, maybe less cars. When we kind of take a look at that on a regular basis, it's really sort of come back and almost doubled in terms of volume from where we had been. And you can actually see that based on some of the numbers we're looking at for our March activity. Total passengers through the airport, most of the pandemic, we've been running 20 to 27,000 passengers, thereabouts, were really what we were seeing total. But for March, we're up around 46,000 passengers through there. So adding another 20,000 on top of kind of where we've been, you can really tell the story, and you know that people are back and on flying, which is again what's just wonderful to see.
Once you get inside the plane, everybody's rather compliant with wearing face masks, and the airlines do clean the planes.
Absolutely.
And of course, you've got those HEPA filters that circulate. How often is it?
Yeah, so the air on board the aircraft is completely exchanged with outside fresh air every 2 to 3 minutes. And any air that is being brought back in is actually running through all of the HEPA filtration in those aircraft. I mean, the other great thing inside an airplane is all of the air is supplied overhead, straight down, and it's collected at the floor. So, you know, again, unlike, you know, our typical building or home environments, there's not a lot of chance for air on the aircraft to sit stagnant or blow around too far, because it's really being drafted from top to, you know, from ceiling
right.
to floor.
And there's nobody in between you and the airflow.
And all of that gets filtered with a very, very high level of efficiency, and then new air brought in. So the air quality on board the aircraft is really dramatically greater than what you might find in your typical building. So certainly folks have read some of those studies as well, and I think recognizing just what the incidence rate for COVID among, you know, the flight crews that are on board these aircraft day in and day out has been extremely low. So you're starting to understand that it's an environment that's really set up well to protect people from any sort of pathogen like this.
At the beginning of the pandemic, there was exciting news about Allegiant Airlines and ABE. Is everything pretty much on track there?
Everything is going well. As a matter of fact, just 5 days ago, we had Allegiant start up their Myrtle Beach service again. So another popular spot for the season. And so at this point, yes, Allegiant has all of their destinations operating, and you know, their loads have really been pretty well. I mean, considering and really through the pandemic, I think, you know, one of the things that hasn't really been new information for a lot of people is that really it's the leisure and vacation travel that's still occurring, and really not the business travel. And, you know, that's really feeding Allegiant's core market there. And so, you know, Allegiant really had continued to have some fairly decent operating loads out of Lehigh Valley, and those are certainly increasing. So it's great to see the destinations are all back and all operating, and certainly heading into the summer, that activity level is really on the schedule, showing some significant increases, and we're excited to see those
sure.
aircraft certainly filled up on the way to a fun, sunny place.
Tom, it looks like United's also added a direct flight to Washington?
That's correct. So twice a week now, we've been talking to United for years to get that Washington, D.C. connection back, and they were able to add that in December of 2020. So twice a day, they're providing that service, and it's been very popular, and I'll tell you, certainly, you know, good timing, but we also continue to have the service from United to Chicago and Newark as well. So it was really great to see that addition in the middle of the pandemic.
It really gives local people an opportunity to fly internationally also when we're able to do that with an additional flight to Washington.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So So it has been popular, and we've heard it a lot from the community, really asking for that service back, and it's something that we went for about 8 years without. So we were really excited that, you know, this timing worked out, and United didn't forget about, you know, those conversations, and we're able to provide that.
Congratulations. That's a great pickup.
Thank you.
And it looks like Delta is now adding another flight to Atlanta.
That's right. So we have Delta. Certainly, they're back. Their Atlanta service was suspended during the pandemic for a bit, but their third daily flight to Atlanta came back on the 12th of this month. So certainly, Atlanta is a very popular destination for everyone routing through the South and moving through Delta's network. And so this was something that we heard a lot about when the Atlanta service wasn't available through Delta during some portions of the pandemic. But three flights a day back, and it's been going very well.
You also have your flights to Detroit on Delta. And I think one of the main things that it's really important is if you shop flights from other cities, your ability to fly internationally when we can again, that the pricing is just about the same.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah. So Delta is also running to Detroit three times a day as well. And that's still a very popular option for people, whether they're traveling domestically or internationally.
Do you see anything new coming up with the warehouses coming in? I see the Prime planes flying overhead.
Well, you know, certainly there's no shortage. I mean, 2020 was a spectacular year nationally for the air cargo industry, and you know, we were no exception. That was certainly our best air cargo volume, highest cargo volume on record, and so we're still continuing to see very good cargo volumes. I think we're really anticipating that that's going to continue through, you know, this year. And I think, you know, that's really certainly something we've recently undertaken an initiative to evaluate the air cargo facilities and infrastructure here at the airport. We're pretty full here at the inn in terms of the number of places that we can handle air cargo aircraft, and the types of facilities that we have available are really at capacity. So we're really looking at what we can do to see if there's an opportunity to add some infrastructure or facilities to enable that cargo to continue to meet the demand that's here, and certainly anticipating that demand growth over in the future.
Tom, we have about a minute left. Make a final pitch on why we ought to be flying out of ABE.
Well, certainly. As your neighborhood airport, we've been through a lot of things over our 90-year history, and we'll just add a pandemic now to the list. But we've been here from the beginning. We're certainly focused on our community. We want to be able to provide the best quality customer service. This is an airport that continuously wins awards on our service options and customer service programs. So we really want to encourage folks, if they haven't flown through here in a while, to really give it a try. It's certainly a safe opportunity to do that. We're working hard to make sure we're keeping all of our passengers as well as our employees here safe. And we know there's some great options in terms of some really affordable fares still out there. We're always competitive with our airport neighbors in terms of the pricing. So we really encourage people to take a look. If you do use us, we really thank you for the support. And we're continually working to make it better. So that experience is only going to get better. And we've got some great projects coming in the next few years that I think are just going to dramatically improve that experience.
As a frequent flyer, I can tell you there's no reason to fight the traffic to Philly or New York. Tom Stout, thanks a lot for being on Every Main Street.
Thank you, Greg. So much appreciated.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to On Every Main Street. On this segment, we would like to welcome Liz Summers, the founder and president of Advancing Leadership Consulting. Liz, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And you moved to the area, you said about 2018?
Yes, relocated here from North Carolina in 2018, yes.
And you apparently found your way to the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, you know, interestingly, pretty much at my second job out of school, I worked for the Raleigh, North Carolina Chamber of Commerce in selling memberships for them. And I know the power of chamber membership. And so when I relocated here, that was one of the first things I wanted to do was to join the chamber because I know it's a great way to get involved and to know a community. So, yes.
You actually started your company about 2008, and
I did.
At the time, we were in an economic meltdown, if you will. And here we are again today. Can you compare the two time periods, what you see, similarities, differences in today's economic woes versus those of the past?
Sure. I think just from my perspective, I think one of the things that is constant is that once we can hopefully overcome the challenges like we did back in 08, and then certainly what we've experienced now, is that some things still remain the same. And for organizations, you know, your staff and your people are the most valuable asset that you have often. And so it's interesting, when financial times hit, one of the first things that goes or any kind of training or support, you know, which is understandable because a lot of organizations really certainly had to buckle down and what have you, those that hopefully were able to survive this pandemic. And what you come to realize afterwards, I think people realize that, hey, we're stronger together, we've been through this, and we still need to be effective and often do more with less. And so communication becomes even more important. You know, when things are going well and things are flush, those things don't always appear quite as obvious, maybe. But mm-hmm. when you're a lean, mean machine, you really need to be as efficient as possible. And that communication is really important. So it is, I think we're really resilient and we work better together. And so that's what we try to do, is to help organizations do that.
So do you make organizations leave their phones at the door when they come in to do something? I mean, in 2008, the iPhone was just really getting traction, and here we are glued to it.
Yeah, it's you know, it's interesting. One of the things I do is I ask folks, I always set up kind of ground rules, and I always ask people to silence technology. I think to ask people to completely check out from that is, for some people, is like losing a limb, and so it's more distracting. But I do believe in, all the research shows we really don't multitask as well as we think we do. And so that to be present as much as possible. So whenever we are together, you know, asking folks to do that. Also knowing, and depending on the situation, I'm doing some training right now with the local health network. And, you know, folks who are working in a hospital setting may not be able to, you know, they're going to have interruptions. They're going to have things like that. But, yes, I think technology has certainly, from 2008 to now, is completely different. Good and bad, right? I mean, there's mm-hmm. some amazing things about it. I mean, gosh, can you imagine if we'd had the pandemic in, you know, 2008? I mean, you know, now with technology, with Zoom, we've been able to, with all the other online platforms, you know, we've been able to do so much. So, yes, it's something we constantly work on, but we do try to ask people to be present when we're together.
I'd like to remind people we are speaking with Liz Summers of Advanced Leadership Consulting. Liz, what pops out at you when you go into a C-level suite? What are some of the most common issues that people ask you to address?
Sure. I think a lot of it is helping people understand, helping to have a culture where people can be vulnerable and can ask questions and can share observations and not get stuck in, well, this is the way we've always done it. I think sometimes that can be scary to do something differently. And so also trusting your staff to bring the new ideas that might be, you know, it seems like it's going to be a little clunky maybe to try the new way. But I think just communicating with one another, one of my biggest tenets is just about self-awareness and knowing your strengths. And if everybody on the team kind of knows their strengths, then everybody can leverage those as a team. You know, if you have everybody who's all one style, that's not going to, you know, you need the variety. You need the folks who are the action-oriented people as well as the detailed-oriented people. You know, you need all of that. And so a lot of it is just helping people see what's right in front of them and valuing that in each other, and then being able to say, oh, let's let you take this and I'll step back because this is more of a strength for you, or those kinds of things. So a lot of times it's just having people, you know, really trust in each other and be willing to try some new things.
Take us into the C-suite where there's obviously a few egos. How do you take people through the process to find out if they are a leader, a manager, or a technician, or how do you find their strength without them defending and saying that they're good at everything?
Sure. A couple things. First of all, anytime I do this kind of work, it needs to start from the top. So I need to have support from the top of the organization. I've been approached, oh, we want to just do this for our mid-level managers, but we don't want to do anything for the executives. You know, really have
right.
to start from the top down, first of all. But second of all, there are several different tools, often assessments that I use, that really get everybody on the same page, meaning that they're all going through it together at the same time. It's not as if, okay, the president or CEO or executive director is going to do one thing and then everyone's going to do something else. No, it's getting the leadership together and also, you know, working with exercises, activities, discussions to really get to know one another. When you know someone's story, it's much harder maybe to judge or to have assumptions. And so that opens up dialogue, has everybody kind of on the same level. So then they can explore it and they're doing it together at the same time simultaneously. So it's something when you do it together, it's less threatening and you can identify, you know, everybody has unique strengths, every mm-hmm. single person. And so finding out what that is for each one and recognizing how you're also perceived by others is also helpful, because we tend to just think that everybody thinks the same way we do. And maybe intellectually we know that's not the case. When we get in a workspace situation, sometimes we assume that we all do.
So you have assessment tools.
Yes, there are several. I really love the DISC assessment, family of assessments. There are others that I use, but I find that there's several within that suite of products that are really beneficial, whether it's for entry-level staff or all the way to the top. So
we're right in the middle of what I would call biggest change management time in history, probably, forced upon us. Are some of these new changes here to stay?
Oh, I think absolutely. And I don't know that we know exactly what they'll be yet, but one of the ones that I hope is that we can all, you know, just offer a little more grace to one another. We can still work hard and plow hard and, you know, really go for the goal, whatever it is in your organization, but to offer each other some grace. I'm hoping that will stay, maybe.
Sure.
And I think certainly things with technology, and I think the pandemic certainly brought to light a lot of the issues for parents, you know, who are working and raising children, and whether that's single parents, dual, you know, parent households, but just some of the how to make it work that we're all trying to do our best, and that, you know, there's support needed here and there and understanding. But I think maybe some of the flexibility that we've all had to adjust with, you know, things that we would never have thought of before, we've been giving people a hard time about now, I think we seem to be more open to that. And that's important, because when people feel heard and valued, say in their workplace, they're actually probably going to do more and give more in that case.
You help people with presentations and speaking skills. Are people still afraid to get up in front of a group of people and speak?
Oh, always, yes. I think they're still, and, you know, I think in some ways it's harder now because we haven't been doing that, right? For, you know, now it's in front of a Zoom call, right?
I mean,
it hasn't been, but yes. And I think for some people, public speaking, there will always be people that they would much rather have a root canal, right, than get up in front of folks. Absolutely. I think that will always be the case. And, you know, even I enjoy public speaking, but it doesn't mean I don't get a little, you know, butterfly. But I think that also is good. That's, you know, the day that I don't have a butterfly before doing it, I'll get worried. But yes, and it's such a great skill. I wish our schools would do more of it, because it's such a great skill that can use throughout all areas of your life, through your business, your community involvement, and it really can help your self-confidence. So
give our listeners a one tip, if you will. They're back out there. Somebody wants them to make a speech sometime this year. What's one thing that you can say, hey, this will help you calm down?
I would say definitely go for that opportunity, even if you're nervous about it. And I think the best thing, this is going to sound really simple, but just to breathe, you know, to just, especially a long exhale before maybe you have to present it, you know, even as you start a presentation, because that's when you're maybe the most nervous. And I would also say don't apologize. Don't begin it by saying, gosh, I don't do this very often, or gosh, I'm really nervous. People in the audience want you to do well. They don't want to see you fail. And if they can tell you're a little nervous, that just makes you human, and they'll actually be rooting for you even more. So it's okay. And I think if you speak your truth, I think any, you know, you speak something you know, or like Dale Carnegie always talked about, you know, you speak what you know, you have confidence in that. If you ask me to talk about the Mars landing and that NASA just did, you know, I don't know anything about the details of that, so I can't speak to that. But if you speak something you know, have confidence with that.
So breathe and stick to what you know.
Yes, those would be two great tips.
Let's talk about your business. How do people get in touch with you?
Sure. My website address is very long, but it's the name of my company, AdvancingLeadershipConsulting.com. So that's probably the best way. Email is probably the best way.
Another way you can reach Liz is if you actually just type Liz Summers and her website will pop up.
That, and also I'm on LinkedIn, so that's another way if you want to connect with me that way, and obviously, you know, through the chamber directory as well. A lot of what I provide is executive leadership, leadership and organizational development, change management. I work with both. I have a lot of experience with nonprofits, so a lot of board and staff retreats, as well as ongoing leadership development for maybe often for mid-level folks. So any kind of improvement for organizational and communication within your team, that's what we do.
So you've had to write commercials before. You're a past commercial writer. Give us the 30-second pitch.
Oh, gosh. I think Advancing Leadership Consulting is here to help you improve the efficiency and effectiveness of your organization by helping your staff communicate more effectively and be more confident and leverage your strengths. How's that on the fly?
And there you have it. You can search on your search engine either Liz Summers' name or the name of Advancing Leadership Consulting. And she will be happy to give you an evaluation of your business and help you do what you want to do a little bit better, I think.
Absolutely.
Liz Summers, Absolutely. Thank you very much for being on Every Main Street.
Thank you so much, Greg. It was my pleasure. Have a great day.
And good evening to everybody who's listening on WDIY.